you can do it at your own pace, or you can do it when you need to do it. I, for one, think there's only one right choice.
He looked away.
You came to tell me you think I've got it easy. That makes a huge difference. Thanks.
His sarcasm stung. Lorin didn't know what she'd come to him for, really, except to break him out of his funk. She was surprised at how deep the feelings ran and the harshness with which she had spoken. It was hard to tell how much was for his benefit.
All right, then, she said. I'll leave you to it.
When she stood, her knees practically shook with fatigue.
I will do it, he said. I have to. Well, keep it down when you do. I'm going to catch up on some sleep.
She didn't wait for a snappy comeback, if he had one. Letting her legs work on autopilot, she went to a bunk in the crew quarters and was asleep before her head hit the pillow. Shigar listened to her go. Already he regretted the way he had reacted to her combined advice and confession. Clearly she had been building up to the latter part for some time, and he should have showed more compassion. But he was so bound up in his own issues, his own self-centered mess, that he hadn't been able to see the raw wound she had exposed to him. Not her hand, but the aching severance from everything she had once held dear. How would he feel, he asked himself, if he had to turn his back on the Jedi Order? It was impossible to imagine Master Satil ever doing anything counter to the code he lived by, but famous Jedi had fallen to the dark side before. What if he discovered that she was in fact working against the Council? And what if he knew that her word would be taken against his? Was his sense of justice strong enough to make the call anyway, as Lorin's had been? Once he would have been completely sure of himself. Now, after his dealings with T'Sa Barish, he wasn't so sure. And still, there was the matter of the mysterious world waiting to be resolved. The piece of droid nest glinted impassively back at him. Lorin was right on one point. Sitting around thinking about it would get him nowhere. All the time he had been isolated in the dark, he hadn't even touched the silver sliver. He had been trying and failing to get his mind into the right state, believing that there was no point even starting until he was completely ready. Lorin's faith in you is not unwarranted. Perhaps you should have faith in her, too. Shigar remembered how he had felt when Master Satil had ordered him to go to Hutta. He had invited Lorin along because he felt she needed him to prove something to herself. She was full of bluster, but lacking a clear sense of purpose. Now he understood why that core of her life was missing, and it was he who needed to prove something. If he didn't, he would do much worse than let down his master and the Republic. He would fail himself.
There's only one right choice.
He picked up the sliver of metal. It was cool and sharp-edged to the touch. If he put it in his right fist and squeezed, it would surely draw blood. He engulfed it in his fist and squeezed. The bottom dropped out of the hold, and he was suddenly falling. His first thought was to grab hold of something and hang on, both mentally and physically. This was utterly unlike any psychometric information he had ever received before. But what he was reading this time was unlike anything he'd tried touching before, so fighting the vision could be self-defeating. Perhaps being plunged in the deep end was exactly what he needed. He braced himself against the rush of vertigo and tried to take from the experience what he could. Falling. At first there seemed to be